I'm pulling away from the curb because I dropped my son off at school. We all know what that means. It's time for their drive to work. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about the online. What I mean by that is there is normal magic design and there is silver border acorn madness that is undesign. So I'm going to talk about what undesign is. I'm going to talk about sort of what separates undesign from normal. And so I'm just going to walk through so let me give some history and then I will dive into this topic. So in 1998, we created a set called Unglued. So the way Unglued came about was Joel Mick and Bill Rose came up with an idea for a set that was not tournament legal. So understand at the time, this is back in 98 or 96 or 97 when we first started designing it. There basically play fell into two categories. There was casual play, you played at home. There was tournament play, you played in a game, you know, in a game store or something, and it was sanctioned. And the idea was that there's a lot of things that go on in there's a lot of non-sanctioned play. And there's some fun designs that just are problematic in tournaments, but that we can make it in. But we can make cards. That there's fun designs there. And I took it. They gave it to me. I ended up adding. I added a humor element to it, and I was very much inspired by. When I was a kid, I used to be an amateur magician, and there was a company that made card tricks. And one of the things they made is they made a deck that just had weird cards in it. 3½ of clubs, a black queen of hearts. It just had weird. There are lots of weird cards. And it didn't tell you what to do with them. It just kind of, here's a bunch of fun, weird things. What can you do with that? And I really approach Unglue in the sense of, I just want to make things that will be cool that at the time didn't exist. That is where full art lands came from. That is where token cards came from. We just did a lot of different things. And so, anyway, that was 1998. Then in 2004, 6 years later, we made Unhinged. So that was the second unset. Oh, so the first unset was called Unglued. We were going to make a second unset called Unglued 2 that was supposed to come out a year or two later. It got put in a hiatus. We never made it. Some of those cards did get put into Unhinged, not all of them. Then, in 13 years later, took a while for the third one, in 2017 was Unstable. That was the third unset. Then, like 2020-ish, we made a box called Unsanctioned that was mostly reprint of old uncards, but there were a handful, I'm trying to remember how many, 10 to 16. There were a bunch of new cards, not a lot, but there's some new cards that we made for that product. And then, in 2022, we put out Unfinity, which was the fourth sort of booster pack unset, not kind of unsanctioned as its own separate thing. Okay, so I've had it designed 5 different times for unsets. And so today is sort of like, what makes something an uncard? A couple things I need to sort of clarify some stuff. First off, the line, the unline moves. For example, in Unglued, for the first time, I made cards that rolled dice. Before that, we had some coin flipping cards, like Arabian Nights had coin flipping. But for the first time ever, you were rolling a 6-sided die. And the idea is that the reason that we didn't want to put that in normal tournament play, or in tournament play, if you will, was there's a high variance in die rolling. For example, there's a card called Elvish Impersonator. And the idea is you roll 2 dice, 2 6-sided dice. The first one is its power. The second one is its toughness. I think it costs 3 and a green. So the idea is it could be as small as a 1-1. It could be as big as a 6-6. But it could be a 6-1 or a 1-6 or a 3-3. And in tournaments, the idea that whether or not this card is really good or not was fate was not a good idea for tournaments. Not that it was a bad idea for casual fun play. High variance is actually fun. High variance isn't great for tournament settings. So we chose not to put die rolling. So Unglued had die rolling, Unhinged did not, but Unstable did, Unsanctioned did. And then while in the middle we're doing Infinity, We make Dungeons and Dragons, the first Dungeons and Dragons set, Adventures in Forgotten Realm. And they decided in that to use some 20-sided die. Now, they were very restricted in what they could do because they didn't want the cards using die rolling to be tournament-level cards. So they'd be very careful on what. And unsets can still do die rolling and have a little bit higher variance. But anyway, when the nice thing about die rolling is when introducing it to a format like Eternal, which is what we did with the Acorn cards of Infinity, you can have high variance and still be at a much lower power level than the format is at. But in Standard, it's a little trickier. Also, they were using 20-sided dice in Adventures of Forgotten Realm. 20-sided dice are obviously a higher variance than a 6-sided die. Anyway, my point on die rolling is the line is not fixed. That we could do something and go, oh, this is clearly on this side of a line, and then things change. And the other thing about the unsets in general is we tend to test out new area and push in new directions, and that some of that space may be down the road. Like, there's definitely cards in early unsets that just we could do now that wasn't a problem, like now isn't a problem, where in the time it was pushing things a little bit. Okay, so the first corollary there is the line can change. So it's not like the line itself evolves with time. And as Magic does more and more design stuff and pushes in newer space, sometimes we encroach on some of that, some of the unspace, if you will. Okay, so the other big thing to understand is that there really are two different categories. Well, sorry, I'll say three different categories of undesigns. Category one is it just doesn't work in the rules. The rules can't technically handle it. The way rules work is when we make something in the rules, it has to work 100% of the time. And there are definitely design spaces where the player... a perfect example of this is a card called Staying Power from Unhinged. Staying Power is an enchantment that says all effects that end at end of turn last until the end of the game. So if I giant grow something with Staying Power out, that creature is permanently, for the rest of the game, a +3/+3. And Staying Power is a really good example where 99% of the time you'll get it right. Like Staying Power, most of the time you understand what it's doing and you can make it work right. But there are weird corner cases where it causes problems. And the way to think of it is, imagine a computer is programming something. A computer has to be absolute. For the rules to work, it has to be airtight. There can't be hypotheticals that don't work. But most of the time, it just works the way you think it works. Like, Staying Power is a good example of a card that people seem surprised we can't make in Black Border in normal Magic. And the answer is, oh, there's just weird technical side corner cases it can't handle. Another card was, we had a card called Far Out in Infinity, where you got to choose as many modes as you wanted to. And that's another card where most of the time it works. There's a few small exceptional cards where it doesn't work, and because it doesn't work on those cards, sometimes when you make a choice, they can't all coexist. That has to be one thing. You're choosing between choices, and it's not additive. So that causes problems. So the first category is there's things that we make that just don't work in the rules. We like to make things that make sense. It's not like I want to make things that aren't logical ways to follow what happened. And the best of this category are things where the players don't even have any confusion. It just feels like, yeah, Magic could do this, and technically it can't, but it feels that way. And there's a lot of things, and once again, sometimes we do things that I've been told we can't do, and later we find out a way to do them. Like the idea of putting Trample on a direct damage spell. We still technically can't put Trample on, I think, but we can do something that's very similar. Or maybe we can't. I think we did put Trample on. Anyway, some of it is just figuring out how to execute it. Sometimes we figure it out, sometimes we can't. The second category are things that work well within the rules, but tournaments kind of don't want them. The classic example there are subgames. So the first subgame was made in Arabian Nights by Richard Garfield, called Scheherazade. You stop the game you're playing. You use your library and go play a separate game. And then the outcome of that game affects the original game. Subgames got moved to Silver Border as soon as Silver Border got made. We have done subcards. Unglued did not have a subgame card, but Unhinged, Unstable, and Unfinity all did. But that's a good example, is the rules can handle. In fact, Tug of War, the green one, I think it's called Tug of War, the green sub-game in Infinity, when we were dividing things into Acorn and Eternal. Jeff Dunks is the rules manager. So he was in the meeting. He's like, hey, the rules can handle this. So we actually put it for a while. Made it Eternal. But then at the slideshow, so many people were like, why is this Eternal? It wasn't that it couldn't be Eternal. It didn't felt like it was Eternal. Subgames aren't great for tournaments because they have less space. And there's just things that... there are things that aren't good for tournament play. So we decided, okay, subgames exist. Yeah, the rules can handle them, but we're going to keep that an unthing. The third category is what I'll sort of call silly things. Go get me a drink, cluck like a chicken, where it is just stuff that pushes in other directions. And I'll get to that whole area. And that last area, once again, it's not that rules can't handle it, although it gets a little fuzzy. Like, what counts you doing something can be a little fuzzy. But it just, once again, doesn't quite feel right. So some of the dividing has to do with, what do we want happening in tournaments? We don't want people clucking in tournaments. We don't want people affecting other games in tournaments. We'll get through that. There's just things we don't want to do. Okay, so now let's start getting to the actual line. Okay, so probably the most important difference between normal Magic and un-Magic is the following rule. In tournament Magic, when you all cards that have the same name in English are identical according to the rules. So no matter what version I have, no matter what printing I have, it has to function the same in tournaments. Now we do errata, sometimes cards change, but when that happens, all cards change. So all cards have to be the same. In unsets, the rule is, if a card asks you to care about the quality of a card, you actually have to look at the actual card you're playing. Now, this actually, there's a lot of design space in this. And the reason for that is, there are a whole bunch of things that can change between printings. Meaning, since tournaments have to say, hey, card A, printing A and printing B have to be identical, that between printing, things can change. So, for example, cards can change rarity. We could print a card at an uncommon, but then reprint it as a common. We can reprint a card at rare, and then reprint it as an uncommon. Rarity can change, and we can go up in rarity. Rarity can change. So we can't care about rarity, because two copies of the same card could be different rarity. Likewise, we can't care about art or artists. Art and artists will change, or can change, between printings. We can't care about watermarks, because watermarks change between printing. Like I said, we can't care about rarity. We can't care about collector number. We can't care about frame treatment. There's just things that we're not allowed to care about. And some of those things are quite fun. You know, some of those things, like, it's neat to care about rarity or artist. Like, some of those are fun, but it's not that players get confused by them. Once again, I can look at a card and see who the artist is. But the general rule that we play with in Constructed keeps us from making those cards. And there are a lot of fun cards there. There are a lot of fun attributes to care about. Part of sort of being fun in the game is just finding weird and different things. And we have cared about all sorts of things. We've cared about collector number. We've cared about things that are weirder things. But that's fun because we can in the Unworld. The other big thing that's important to understand is a rule about how names work. So a card has a name. Obviously, in different languages, it has a translation of that name. But one of the rules mechanically is that we can't care about the quality of a name. We can care if a card is called a specific thing. So we can care, is this card called whatever? Does it have the following name? We can refer to names as a whole. But we can't refer to qualities of names. For example, we can't say, does this name start with a certain letter? We can't say, are there two words in this name? We can't say, is a particular word in the name? Like Urza's Hot Tub is a card in Unhinged where you can discard a card to go get to tutor for another card that has the same word in its name. That's not viable. Doubleheader cares about if the card has two words in its name. We have cards that care about what it starts with. All that, none of that is viable. We also, we can't care about words. Like, we can, you can talk about whether a certain function exists, and that function could be tied to a word, but we can't say, does the following word appear? We can't do that. I can't say, go fetch a card with the word target in it. That's not something that normal Eternal Magic can do. Uncards can do that. The other thing is, I can't refer to text specifically, meaning I can't say, are there three lines of text, four lines of text, how many lines of text? Because different printing for lines of text can be different. Oh, and also, I can't care about flavor text. Flavor text can vary between sets. There are some uncards that specifically care about what the flavor text is, and we can't do that because of the meta rule. Other things that you're allowed to care about in un-territory, you can care about the quality of where you are playing. For example, I could care about what time of day it is. I can care about whether it's day or night. I can care about whether I can see objects in the room of where I'm playing. The idea being that normal Magic cards, Eternal Legal tournament cards, need to function. They need to play the same every time you play them, no matter where you play them, when you play them. But uncards can vary. That this card, you know, there's a card, there's an elf card that cares about what time of day it is. And it's more powerful, like it's more powerful at 12 than it is at 1. So if you're playing late morning or late at night, it can be more powerful. But we're not allowed to do that. Cards can't change value based on external things. Another thing we can't do that's external is we can't care about or impact other games. There are a handful of cards we've made in unsets where you can mess and interact with other games. Now, the rule about interacting with other games is those games have to also be playing an ungame. Because we don't want you messing with game. You know, we don't want you, like, someone's in the middle of a tournament and you mess with them somehow from another game. So it's limited to things that only interact with other un-games. But it is fun. There's a lot of fun interaction. I remember once I was doing spell slinging where people can come up and play me. And there were two of us. So someone waited till both I and the person next to me, another wizard's person, was free. And then he and his friend played in that game. And what they did was, he was playing me, and his friend had cards that interact with other games that were interacting with me. So it was sort of like two different decks were fighting me, and I did not win that game. I don't think I won that game. Oh, I take it back. I know I had arm wrestle. It's the only time I ever... There's an uncard that makes you arm wrestle. It's the only time I ever won an arm wrestle, but I think I lost that game overall. Another thing that we can't do in normal Magic is... we allow you to fetch cards from outside the game, but we don't allow you to go and purchase product. We're talking about Booster Tutor. Booster Tutor is a card that first showed up in Unhinged, and both Unstable and Infinity did a variant on it. There's just a lot of fun. Going to get packs and opening them up is a lot of fun. Players are very fond of it. So, the idea is you can go get a specific card from outside the game, but even then, certain formats, I mean, in tournaments, you need to get it from your sideboard. I know a Commander doesn't really, there's no wishing in Commander, so certain things don't work in Commander. Anyway, but the idea to go get a booster is a lot of fun, and people really enjoy it, but it just felt wrong. There's a randomization element that we don't like, and we don't want to make people in the middle of a tournament have to, like, buy something. Okay, the next area that we can do in un-territory that we can't do in normal is people like copy effects. The game can handle certain copy effects. I can copy one card, no problem. I can copy one aspect of one card and copy one aspect of another card, no problem. But you start getting some of the things that we start doing, there's a card called Griselda Monster Matcher where you smash two cards together. Because you don't know the quality of the two cards you're smashing together. One second. I'm about to sneeze. Sorry. Because the nature of smashing two different things together is weird interactions can happen. In normal magic, if I just copy one thing, okay, I can copy all that one thing. If I copy two things, but I delineate what I'm copying, I get the power from this card, the toughness from that card. Because you're delineating it, you can do that. But when you start getting a little more open-ended, like copy card A and card B at the same time, you start getting into a weirdness. And so that's something where we can't quite do that in normal thing. Another rule that we have, one of the things that unsets a lot of the undesign is about, there's some rules that we have in magic that we do not cross. One of the ones is, we do not allow a player to put a card they do not own in a hidden zone. Which means that if I can't put somebody else's card in my hand, I can't put somebody else's card in my library. The reason for that essentially is, we don't want people mismanaging other people's cards. We don't want it. I shuffle in my library and you forget about it and then you don't take the card. So there's just rules about that. It's a rule. We don't do it. We've never broken it. But uncards like breaking rules. So like there's a card called X in Unstable, which is a spy. And you can put him in your opponent's hand and then he casts spells out of your opponent's hand. There's stuff like that that you can't do. Other things that are related to that are stuff like, I can't draw off my opponent's library because I can't put their cards in my hand. But, you know, Unstable has a card that lets you do that. We have cards that let you do that. And so the idea is that particular rule, the rule that you can't touch your opponent's cards, you can interact with them on the battlefield if you steal them and such, but I can't put them in my hand. We also had a card from Unglued called Mirror Mirror, where you switch sides. So I'm now playing my opponent. So I'm holding their cards and playing their cards. That's the kind of thing we just wouldn't do in normal magic. Another thing that we really have fun with that we've done on a few cards, I think the first card to do it was called Yet Another Aether Vortex, was Unhinged. So Yet Another Aether Vortex, you flip the top card of your library. I think both players flip it up. And then any card that's any permanent that's on the top of a library is also on the battlefield. And so it concurrently exists on your library and in your battlefield. We had a card in Unstable that could be in your hand and on the battlefield. We've messed with them. So the idea is being in more than one zone at a time is not something the rules actually happen. It gets very wonky, very fast. There's a lot of fun interaction. And yet another Aether Vortex is one of my favorite designs. It's a really fun card. But it's one of those things, once again, where it makes a lot of very weird corner case things happen that the rules just can't handle. Okay, next up. An offshoot of not being able to put cards in your hand is we have a card called a Letter Bomb that you shuffle into your opponent's library. So once again, the hand's a hidden zone, the library's a hidden zone. You can't put cards you don't own in the zone that you don't own. So the hand or the library. Now let's get to the physical component. So there are certain cards. In normal magic, magic is a mental game. When you play magic in a tournament setting, we want it to be solely a mental game. We don't want it, like I said, in Unhinged, we made a cycle of cards that you do mini games. There was a breath holding contest. There was a arm wrestling. There was a staring contest. There's rock, paper, scissors. So there's these little, and the idea is, I don't want to, why did I lose my game? I couldn't hold my breath as long. Or we'll do things, some cards have physical components. You have to there's definitely cards we've made. Where you have to balance cards on your hand or your forehead. There's a card in Unfinity called Form of the Second. What is it called? Blink on the name. It's a card that you put your library on your head, or seven cards your library on your head. Six cards, you're the seventh card. And then you have to balance it on your head. If it falls off, then you lose the effect. There's a card called Charm School where you have to balance cards on your head. Anyway, There's cards that restrict you. There's one where you can't use a certain hand. There's things that we can do where we create physical implements. There's a card called Handy Dandy Clone Machine where your hands are the tokens. It's a token maker. So there's a lot of physicality. There's a lot of fun. There's a lot of neat interaction. And one of the cool things about sort of un-territory is saying, hey, you can use the Magic game to do things that are kind of out of the ordinary. And that physicality is not something we want in tournaments. That we want someone to play, and it's about their mind and not about can they do certain actions. And sometimes the actions can be on the silly side. I mean, a lot of the unsets are trying to embrace kind of doing things that are out and embracing the fun of what Magic can be. I think the unsets in my mind are kind of the funnest version. Like, Magic and Wish, you're trying to have fun and nothing else matters. It's just about having a blast and doing crazy things, and it really pushes boundaries in what you can do. And the cool thing about Magic is because Magic is you build your own deck. Like, I'll give you lots of weird and silly things you can do. You choose which of those you want to do. One of the things we did in Unglued that we stopped doing after Unglued was cards that make that your cards force your opponent to sort of physically do something. Nowadays, we mostly put the restrictions on you. You sign up for it. It impacts you. But there are definitely some early cards where I can physically restrict my opponent. We got to be more careful about that. Or I make my opponent do something silly. There was a card in Unglue 2. It didn't get called I'm a Little Teacup, where you force your opponent to do the I'm a Little Teacup song. And it's sort of like, oh, look, they didn't sign up for this. And so that's one of our philosophies in the undesign is, hey, it's fine to do weird and quirky things, but let's make sure the person doing the weird and quirky things signed up for the weird and quirky things. And so definitely our philosophy now is, hey, weird things can happen, but you opt into doing them and you do the weird things. There can be freaky interactions that the opponent has to interact with, but that's different than the physical stuff. A side effect of the physical stuff is vocal things. So, for example, there are cards that make you say things. A Carnivorous Death Parrot. The upkeep cost is you have to say something. There's a whole mechanic named Gotcha in Unhinged, which not a great mechanic, but if you said a certain thing or performed a certain action, your opponent could call Gotcha on you. Once again, this is breaking sort of the rule we later got into where I don't want to keep you from doing what you want to do. But anyway, things that have a vocal component, that is also clearly an un-territory. The final area... is sort of what I'll call trivia. There's two variants of this. One is, like, there's a card called Squirrel Farm in Unglued, where I show you a card from my hand. If you can't name the artist on the card, I get a squirrel token. And the idea is, hey, how well do you know your artist? And some people really well know the artist. Some have no idea at all. Now, after you show them the artist, you have to reveal the artist. So if you do it a second time, at least can they remember what you showed before? I made a squirrel farm deck, and there's a lot of fun in waiting the just right amount of time to reshow them a card to go, oh, I can't remember it. But anyway, that kind of trivia where, once again, we want it to be a mental game, but more about, not about remembering what exists. The corollary of that is like a card called Richard Garfield PhD, where the idea is you can turn any card into any other card. And that is, in my mind, a form of trivia. It's sort of like, oh, this card costs two and a red. How many cards do I know in the history of Magic that cost two and a red? And that is, you know, being how many thousands of cards there are, that is really hard to track. And it's, so, if you want to sign up for that, once again, great. You know, it's fun. People love mental magic, and it's great that we can make cards that, like Richard Garfield PhD, that essentially are mental magic. But we don't want to put that on a tournament. And so that is something else that we do. And like I said, a lot of this, I mean, hopefully today is, there's a lot of fun space. There's a lot of neat cards out there. I think many people have had fun with Ashnod's Coupon, which forces you, your opponent to go get you a drink. There's Cheaty Face that you can cheat into play. You know, there's all sorts of things that just really break that, like, it's a good thing that Magic has hard and fast rules. We want, when you're playing a card in a tournament setting, that there's a definitive way that it works, and the rules explain exactly how it works, and the judges know exactly what's going on. There's a reason that we're not doing things that take up space or take up time, or, you know, like, for example, early Magic, in Alpha, there was Chaos Orb, where you flipped the Chaos Orb in the air, but it turned out to be a huge problem for tournament, because the correct answer to dealing with a Chaos Orb is to spread your cards wide apart, and it made it hard to play in stores. Anyway, so, like, the thing about Undyne is I think there's a lot of really fun play there. Might not be for everybody. Some people might like Magic in the more confined tournament sort of setting, or, you know, I understand that we push in different areas. I think what I've found is that different players enjoy different aspects of what's going on. Some players want the rules to work absolutely. They don't like cards that are fudgy in the rules. Some people like to be a mental game and don't like cards that get physical. Some people, you know, and some of them can get silly. So, like I said, there's really, the whole idea of Undyne is Magic can be more than the constraining element of tournament Magic. It can be more than that. And there's a lot of fun things. And because we have a place to do stuff like that, it's great that we can do cards that don't quite work. And so that is really the reason I'm so fond of Undyne. A, I think it lets you do things that you don't normally do. But B, it just allows Magic to be more. That if you want Magic to have some of these qualities to them, you can. The game can do that. That's something that can happen. But it's an opt-in game. You choose what to do. And so that's great. If you don't like that aspect of the game, you don't have to put it in. But there's people that might really enjoy it. And that, I get, not everybody wants to have to face a cheaty face. Not everybody wants to go get a drink for their fellow player. And that's okay. So, you know, that is why it exists. But anyway, I hope this was a good insight into sort of showing the line between what is sort of traditional normal Magic and what is more casual, break the boundaries Magic that the unsets are. Anyway, guys, I'm now at work, so we all know what that means. It means it's the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking Magic, it's time for me to be making Magic. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.